Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Christmas is coming. Are you all set and ready?
No, you've just frightened me when you said it's next week. Blimey. I thought it was at least a month away. But
no, it's Monday. It's Monday. And the question is, I mean, I've seen lists out there of do's and don'ts of things to feed your dogs at Christmas, because it's one of those things. Everybody likes to feed their dogs a little treat because the dogs have this wonderful way of looking at you. I haven't eaten in ages. Can you give me some food? Of course, they have been fed, but it's just the way they look at you. So you can't resist, or we as humans can't resist. And we tend to give them little snacks, but we should be careful in what we do, shouldn't we?
Yes, I would personally, I'd just stick to the food that you're happy giving them, the food that you normally give them. And if it's a dried food, you could give it, you know, if you need to give them any treats or anything, you could take some of that away and put it in something to give to the dogs. Be careful if you buy stuff as extra treats, because the market gets flooded by these things. And are they wholesome? A lot of them come from other countries where they put lots of additives and all sorts of extraordinary things in, and they're very dangerous, some of these treats. So just know what you're giving the dog. You know, something like clean, like a tripe stick, might get rid of your guests quite early, but the dogs do like those.
Can I just lob something in there while you're talking about that? Mention rawhide. Not a thing to give to your dog, although it's made specifically for your dog. If you actually discovered how the stuff was actually made, you wouldn't feed it to anybody.
No, it's so toxic. It's just dangerous. So, we haven't. I mean, years and years ago, like everybody else, we did. And I think years and years ago, it was probably a better product. But as I say, other countries are getting hold of it. It takes the price down. They do. They put bleach. They put glue. They just put extraordinary things. So, no, it's. And also these ones where you've got a long one that might be knotted at each end. Mm. The dogs chew them and the knots come undone, and they don't necessarily sort of break off. They become this great long white bit of slipperiness. Mm. And the dog can swallow. I've had experience of that where, again, over about 26 years ago, one of our dogs had something like that. One of our wolfhounds had one, chewed the knot, so it all unraveled. And I came into the room thinking she'd still be chewing it, and I couldn't see it. And then just out of the side of her mouth, I saw this little white thing. So I went over, opened her mouth up, and I thought, blimey. And I got hold of it and pulled it and pulled it and pulled it. And out came this, as we say, a long, white, slippery thing.
It's horrible stuff.
Oh, and so that went straight into the bin. And from that day forward, they never had rawhide chews. Now they've got worse, I believe, because there's, you know,
it's the manufacturing process, as you mentioned. They have glue and bleach in them, which, from where I stand, can't be a good thing. And I'm just surprised that there are many, many dog stores that still sell them.
And I think the point being is that young dogs and, you know, older, they love to chew. You know, it's part of their natural diet is to rip stuff, chew it, lots of ripping and chewing and crunching. And so a lot of dogs are underused with their jaws and their teeth. And so give them appropriate things. I mean, you know, we're great fans of proper bones for dogs. But even if you're not a fan of proper bones, there are other things that, you know, your dogs can chew. Sadly, it's got to the fact that we give dogs pieces of wood to chew, albeit coffee wood or Australian chewing wood, which I think is quite funny. But anyway, the dogs, they need to use their teeth. So it's not necessary because they're hungry. It's they just need to. And again, it's quite a calming thing, having a good old chew for a dog. It's a bit like sniffing. It sort of lowers the blood pressure and the heart rate down. So they need to do these things, but it's finding the right things to do, really.
The chewing thing is quite an interesting thing, because there are chew toys these days. They tend to be, almost imitations of the stuff we were talking about with the knots in. But, I mean, only this is not rawhide. This is actually a very thick rope-like material they will not only chew on, most dogs like a good tug as well, don't they? So you can hold on to one end and let the dog pull, which it seems to be exercise for the dog.
Yeah, again, you know, be careful with all all these things. If you, the tuggy toys, as you say, dogs seem to quite like, because I think they probably get quite smelly and gunky when they're chewing on them. So no drama with that. Obviously, you know, bits of rope or bits of cotton might come off, the body will come off and the dog will ingest them. Again, so long as they don't ingest loads of things, I think you have to sort of take a measure of what your dog's going to ingest in its life, because if you get too funny about anything that goes in your dog's mouth, you're going to give it serious mental health issues. But,
yeah, but rest assured, it will come out the other end soon enough.
Well, hopefully. And but yeah, so I wouldn't personally hold the other end and play tug of war, because that's not always, with a young dog, that's not fit for purpose with their growing jaw and such. And then they tend to grab bits of your own clothing and pull. And it can, you know, it can lead to other behavioural issues. However, if you can hide them and tell them to find these items, or a dog playing tug of war with another dog is fine. That's absolutely, because they have their own, the sort of rules and regs, and within that game, they know what they're doing. None of that's a problem. But yes, do be careful with your what you're giving it. And again, there's lots of the sort of plastic shaped bones. Again, are you happy with your dog just chewing loads of plastic? It's because plastic in itself has chemicals and such in it, so it's just a jolly old minefield, really. We like sort of broccoli stalks and cauliflower stalks for them to chew, things like that. So they're sort of, they're crunchy and chewy, and if they eat them, that's fine. Some dogs just like chewing, and then they spit it all out. You can see what mess our house is going to be over Christmas, can't you? Honestly.
Yeah, you can imagine. Which leads me on to the next thing. Are you talking about things like rawhide and things you know are good for the dogs to pull and chew on and all the rest of it? It's presents for dogs. I mean, lots of people actually, I saw an article the other day about somebody who had to be on social media. Somebody was actually trying to ratchet up the thought of the more you spent on the dog, on your dog for Christmas, the better.
They had the thing on radio, didn't they?
Yeah.
Buy your dog presents, and does it make you feel better? And somebody said that they cut down on other things so the dog has better presents. And you think, really? So what we do, we wrap up presents that they've already got, wrap them up in newspaper, because again, that's an easy thing to rip, and they like that. There's no, be careful again with paper if you are buying your dog presents. If you get sparkly paper that is sort of special Christmassy, with tinsel and sparkles and all sorts of stuff on it, I wouldn't use that, because again, that's not good for dogs in case they ingest it. So good old fashioned newspaper, at least you'll know which is the dog's Christmas and which is yours as well. And they do love, as you said just now, the ripping and the shredding. So wrap one of their toys in a newspaper, almost like a pass the parcel. And whilst you're doing your presents, or you and the family, whoever, you know, whoever's doing it, give the dog its present, one of many, no doubt, all wrapped up. So then the dog is part of Christmas. Otherwise, because a lot of people, you know, if they've got young children and so on and so forth, they push the dog away, out the way, and then the dog will find odd behaviour to do while you're, you know, around the tree or having presents. The dog will be in the kitchen ripping something else up. Thank you very much. So you might as well include the dog, and they, you know, they love it. And even, you know, you can wrap the newspaper up into balls when he's already pulled it to pieces, and, you know, and they can play with those. So,
So there's really no need actually to spend money on buying presents for the dog. I mean, there's a thought behind this that dogs have no idea that it's Christmas. It's just another day, and all they see is humans eating slightly posher and more food, which for them gives them the opportunity to go, oh, there's an opportunity for me there to get a bit of food.
Yes, they are.
Don't leave your turkey on the side if you have a dog is one thing, because the dogs don't know when to stop eating is another thing. But to do with the presents, they don't really care, do they? As long as there's some paper for them to crunch up and mush up at the end.
I don't think they care. But the point is, I suppose, with a lot of this, and it's like anything, it's the when we're happy and laughing and giggling, our endorphins are all different, aren't they? So we bring out all these sort of happy endorphins. And the dogs do pick up on that. They can smell it. They can sense it. So then they become cheery. So it's part of the part of the whole thing. So I suppose there's no that, you know, it's, if you want to buy your dog presents, it's lovely and it keeps all the shops in business. But being an old meanie here, I'm quite happy wrapping up their existing presents.
I'm on the meanie team for this one, because it's one of those things that a market has been created for something. It's a bit like my thoughts on buying coats for dogs that have two coats already of fur to keep them clean and dry and all the rest of it. I'll give you a little clue of to what I mean is, we have a single coated little boxer of reduced size. He has a single coat, and we put a little raincoat on him if he goes out in the rain, just to keep him dry, because he's single, you know, it's single coat he's got. Yeah. But if Nuka goes out, she's a lab. She's double coated. I mean, if you put a coat on her, the first thing she would do is shrug it off. She doesn't care. If she goes outside in the rain, yeah, she's not bothered at all. You know, if she gets a bit of mud on her, she doesn't care. If you look at her an hour later when she's back in, her coat is immaculate. Heaven knows how she does it. But this girl has never been in a bath, never been near a bath.
Mm.
And she's perfectly clean and doesn't have to worry about having a coat.
Exactly. So it is. It's, you know, it's about the individual. Mm. Where all that mud went, Tony, it's all ingrained in your carpet somewhere.
Quite possibly, but we have a Hoover.
Or your bed. Who knows? Yes. And it just, as you say, it comes up in the Hoover, job done. I mean, a self-cleaning dog like Nuka is what everybody wants for Christmas, I'm quite sure. But the curly dogs, people wrap them up, because once the curls get wet and muddy, they're a nightmare. Because
I get the raincoats for those with the short-coated dogs. I get that. You know, in the winter, you know, you've got to keep them dry. I get all of that, but for the most part, the bigger dogs with the double coats, really, I'm guessing you're trying to apply human traits to a canine.
I think there is a lot of that going on. You know, people tend to, it's this thing, we'd rather dress our dog up than take it for a good old walk. I do find it quite extraordinary, but it seems to be going a bit that way. We were out this morning training and walking, and there was just us. Nobody else was out. Everybody else was out probably, I don't know, doing whatever. And there's loads of dogs in the area, but they certainly weren't out in the pouring rain with their dogs. We didn't have a coat amongst us. Some dogs need coats, older dogs with arthritis and such like that. So it's just about, you know, it's about the appropriate coat for the appropriate dog.
I mean we
use for our little old people, and they're so low to the ground, they have these things called equifleeces, which are great, and they're quite windproof and waterproof, and they dry quickly, wash beautifully, but they're not a fashion statement by any means, but they do a good job. So yes, it just depends.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that gets associated with Christmas is a little phrase that says puppies are not just for Christmas. And, you know, there are 15-year commitment, which, of course, to those of us that love our dogs, they really are a commitment. And but there are people who are given a puppy for Christmas, probably don't expect one, but they're getting one for Christmas and have not got the first clue of quite what's involved, and sort of come January, February, thinking, I can't do this.
No,
not a good idea to give a puppy as a gift for Christmas, is it?
I don't think it's ever a good idea to give a puppy as a gift. You should get a puppy because you personally, the person who's going to do all the work should be the one who decides what puppy or what dog you're going to get. But no, I mean, it's mad, really. And also, there's so much going on at this time of year. People haven't got the thought. So many accidents happen around Christmas time. You've got hazards absolutely everywhere, from the Christmas tree, which has obviously got lights on, which are plugged in, or, you know, they've got big batteries on them somewhere. Anything, all the decorations seem to be hazardous for dogs. So, and, you know, other animals, I suppose, cats and things.
Yeah, don't buy glass baubles, I think, is the thing.
No, but they used to be, didn't they?
Yeah. You can still get them.
But I personally, I think the good breeders out there don't have their puppies for sale over Christmas. They make sure that there's not a litter for sale. Dodgy breeders, yes. But then having said that, there might be people that aren't heavily invested in Christmas and thing. I mean, over the years, we've had dogs that just so happened to arrive around Christmas time because they're rescue, and then that was it. But they've moved in, you know, fine with us. But generally speaking, I wouldn't buy a puppy.
Yeah, it's the Christmas gifting of. Yeah. Of puppies that seems to be an issue. So if it's on your wish list for Christmas, try and think of something else. Get the lead first and go and visit the dog in January. And then if you really want the dog, get the dog.
Yes, because also a lot of people are on holiday or off school at the moment and they think they've got, oh, that's good, I've got all that time. And then suddenly everybody's back to work, back to school. And then what are you going to do with the puppy?
Yeah.
You know, these patterns, they happen year after year after year, and we don't seem to learn, which is quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you've got guests coming around and you've got a young dog or indeed a puppy, I would make sure your dog is all sorted and nicely fed and tired and either back in its crate or back in its bed before all the hilarities of Christmas start, because a lively dog, puppy, whatever, around a sort of an excitable family around Christmas can get a little bit out of hand. So a tired puppy is never going to cause a great deal of trouble. So, you know, give it a good old walk before your day starts, get it fed, get it walked, get it chilled out. That's what I would be doing. If you've got guests around, if they bring their dogs round, again, have a walk beforehand before they all come in. Don't allow play indoors, because that's when the Christmas tree and the turkey go flying. And again, you know, it's about when you get your dog, future-proof it. So if you've already got your puppy maybe in the summer, future-proof it, ready for things like Christmas when everything seems to change, there's a lot more hazards. So your dog doesn't either beg at the table, and so no guest is you know, intent on giving it a treat or anything. Doesn't jump up, doesn't it career around. There's lots of things that it really is, owning a dog is about future-proofing it for these situations.
For many people, if you have a dog, enjoy Christmas. Let your dog enjoy Christmas with you. Just have fun with it. And, just have fun. I'm just hoping that somewhere along the line, someone with all this clothing stuff to do with dogs comes up with a proper seasonal piece of headgear for dogs. And on that note, Wendy, I'm going to wish you a happy Christmas.
There we go. And to you, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you for talking to us, Wendy Claxton. Happy Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you.